Hello and welcome to another Thursday Manna podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through this word every week. And we are in Genesis chapter 25 this week. And as always, just take a moment to read through that. It's a big chapter, a lot going on, and that'll really help you as we just get this brief overview today and encouragement that comes with that. So chapter 25 opens with Abraham taking another wife. And this wife bears him a number of children. And this is kind of the closing chapter of Abraham's story in the book of Genesis. Because in the middle of this, or the first part of Genesis chapter 25, we see that a spry young age of 175, Abraham passes away. And as we transition out of the story of Abraham's life into that of his children, and specifically Jacob and Esau, it's worth taking a look back on his life. We see these peaks and valleys regarding his faithfulness and his obedience to God. We see that he was obedient. He was called out of the Chaldeans into the land of Canaan, and he did it right away. And he even modeled God's generosity with Lot as he gave Lot the preferred land as they were having this contention between their herdsmen. And then we see the contrast when Abraham lies to save his own neck twice in telling people that Sarah was just his sister. And then we see where he and Sarah failed in trying to fulfill God's promise for them to have offspring in their own flesh and by his own power. And so in all these kind of whiplashing events of faithfulness and unbelief, sin, and doubt, we see a very stark contrast between Abraham's faithfulness and God's. And we see God's commitment to his promise as steadfast. I'm reminded of this covenant that God cut with Abraham. We remember that where Abraham prepared all of the components of this offering of this covenant, and God waited until Abraham was tired and fell asleep, and then God himself, in his own power and by his own nature and character, fulfilled the covenant in his own self. And so what a great picture of that steadfast and faithful nature of God compared to Abraham's, because he's like us, he's flesh. And we have moments of peaks where we're obedient and our faith is strong, and then we have moments of doubt and disobedience, and so not so with God. So that's a great contrast that we see there. And verse 9 is interesting. So we see Abraham has died, and verse 9, and his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah. So this is interesting because previously in Genesis 22:2, Isaac is called Abraham's only son. And what's interesting here about this is kind of an awkward family reunion if you think about it, right? Because in our own families, right, we have family reunions, and there's some degree of awkwardness there. You don't know everybody, and even if you do know everyone, you're not quite sure their name, and you're not quite sure who they're related to, like whose second cousin is that, and what's the relationship there, and how do I fit into that? And so there's always that kind of awkwardness. But this had to take the case, I would suppose, because earlier Ishmael had been driven away from the family by Sarah and her seeing the contention that the two were having concerning the birthright. And so Sarah wanted to preserve the birthright here for Isaac, and Ishmael gets driven away. But now here they are. They're obviously in some manner of relationship because they're both burying their father in this cave at Machpelah. And so that sort of dysfunction over the birthright and contention really sets the tone for the rest of this chapter. Because we see previously through the Genesis story that as this nation Israel is being beginning to be established through Abraham and Sarah, We know that, you know, there's contention here among their offspring, and there would be foreshadowing this conflict with people groups and tribes that were distantly related to Noah. But now we see this kind of this genesis of this, pun intended, that we have these literal brothers that are contending for birthright. And the Bible doesn't try to sweep that under the rug. You know, this sibling rivalry that brings about sin and evil. You know, we remember Cain and Abel. And it's interesting that for similar reasons, for the birthright and over contention of who was acceptable in God's eyes, you know, the younger brother's sacrifice was acceptable and honored over Cain's, who was the older brother. And so we know that the ancient world valued this right of the firstborn to receive the inheritance of the family. But in these stories, God is actually choosing to prefer the younger brother or the second born. And as these stories unfold, we see, you know, the fight for the birthright. You know, in the case of Cain, he murdered Abel over that, as he was jealous of Abel's acceptance before God. And now we'll see, as we move forward, that the Jacob, as he's contending with his brother, that begins in the womb, we see. And, you know, can you imagine that, right? So we all know, or we may have heard, that you don't have to teach children to be selfish or to not play well with each other. That's kind of their nature. But this story here of Jacob and Esau, we see that's a inborn trait. This begins in the womb. And we see it clearly in this promise from God to Rebecca in Genesis 25, 23 through 26. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So when her days were fulfilled for her birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, and his name was Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took a hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob, heel catcher or contender. And we see that Isaac was 60 years old when he bore them. So what's interesting about this is Jacob, the secondborn, was actually promised in this prophecy by God to have the right of the birthright. Yet, as his nature, he was actually fighting for it in his own power from the womb. Like, he's coming out of, you know, of the birth canal, and he's grabbing onto his brother's heel to try to, I don't know, drag him back in or climb over the top of him. You know, so this very poor behavior from the very beginning. But we also see that Esau was not innocent in this behavior as well. We see that Esau was an outdoorsman. He hunted for his food. And yet when he was a little bit hangry, he sold his birthright for some stew. And in Genesis 25:32, it said, "Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me?'" So what's interesting here is that Esau overlooked God at this moment, right? God had never failed to provide for his people. And in fact, the opposite is true. God had always provided and made promises that he would regarding provision for his people. Esau also failed to value that birthright. You know, he may have known about the prophecy of the Lord, or maybe he just wanted to get it done and over with, or maybe he really was just hungry and wanted to sell it. But either way, he didn't value that birthright in any way that he would find it, like, implausible or improper to sell it for just a bowl of stew. And so, you know, we see here that the Bible actually says that Esau, in verse 32, Esau despised his birthright. And so that's a pretty harsh but accurate description of Esau's actions and attitudes towards this birthright. He didn't respect it at all. And in that, we see this good encouragement for us, right? Is we should always value what God has given us. And, you know, even if it is something that we might view as negative or as lesser, James reminds us that every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven, from the Father of lights, right? So my prayer for you today is that you would hold the gifts of God that he has given to you dear, and that you would take care of them and guard them and use them for his glory. And so until next week, stay encouraged and stay in the word.